Good afternoon and welcome to the Followell Company. This is the Ignite Leadership Series podcast. Our special guest today is Jeremy Barclay. He is the CEO of St. David's Round Rock Medical Center in Round Rock, Texas. He has been in healthcare leadership for 11 years and has worked for seven hospitals. He is married to his wonderful wife, Amy, now for 11 years and has two sons. So without further ado, let's welcome to the podcast, Jeremy Barclay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me, Rob.
Well, Jeremy, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
You bet. So I am, as you mentioned previously, the CEO at St. David's Round Rock Medical Center there in north of Austin, just north of Austin. We're famous for Round Rock donuts, which are definitely worth visiting. I started here last summer, so have been here for about a year. Prior to that, was in Bentonville, Arkansas, and kind of the home of Walmart there, and got a chance to be administrator at a facility there in Bentonville. And prior to that, I've kind of traveled around, spent some time in West Virginia where you and I met each other. Prior to that, was in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, and have just kind of traveled around quite a bit and got a chance to work with some really, really good leaders. I feel like I plagiarize a lot of things that have been taught to me by some really good mentors. So been very fortunate in my professional career to work with some folks that I really, even to this day, still admire, still call for advice, and hopefully get a chance to share those things with people that are interested in learning a little bit more.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about some of your hobbies.
Yeah. So I have, my wife and I have two boys, 9 years old and 5 years old. So prior to that, I'll lead with that. Prior to that, I played football, played baseball, really enjoyed doing that kind of stuff. I've ran marathons and things like that. Really enjoyed physical activity, but kind of going back to the 9 and the 5 year old, right now I am still cool. They still like me, and they so all of my hobbies, all of my time away from work are really spent with my wife Amy and our two boys, Noah and Gray, and we do all kinds of stuff. Right now it's, you know, Legos and swimming and just boy stuff that is part Henri and part dirt, with all kinds of getting out in the backyard and playing in the dirt. So that's kind of my hobbies. Nothing properly structured like most people do.
Hey, there's nothing better than family. Well, let's talk a little bit about your career. Where do you feel like you've excelled in your career, and what do you attribute that to?
Yeah, absolutely. And I touched on it a little bit. So I'll preface where did I excel with, again, I'm just taking some notes that people have passed down to me. So it's nothing that I've done and made up a great way to do things. It's just kind of picking and selecting the things that I really thought that my style of leadership could work with. So it's nothing, again, that I wrote the book on. It's just what I picked up from a lot of really good people. And for me, my success is 100% built on the relationships that I have developed previously and that I develop each day with our customers. And our customers in my world are physicians. So in my role currently as CEO, which differs a little bit kind of as you continue to progress, but currently as a CEO, a lot of my time is spent with physicians, either active physicians that are already here, kind of making sure that their processes and the patient care and convenience and all that kind of stuff is working well for them, but also for prospective physicians and surgeons that I spend a lot of time trying to develop those relationships so that they can try our hospital out, see how we do. If we hit a home run, hopefully we can get them back to come back to our hospital and bring cases or patients, whatever it may be. But I don't think any of that stuff is again, new. It's things that I've picked up from some great CEOs. We've touched on it earlier. For those of you that are listening, Rob actually hired me for my first chief operating officer job. It's been 7 or 8, 9 years ago since then, which seems like a long time looking back, but I've had some really, really good mentors. My first CEO, Doug Welch, is now in Augusta, Georgia, extremely successful. I learned again from Rob, and then had Tim Adams, who was a CEO in Cedar Park, Texas. Very, very good CEOs like that I've absorbed so much information from, and each one of them had a lesson or something that if in an elevator conversation, I can say, here's the four or five CEOs that I've had. Here's the main takeaway that I had from each one of those. And I think that was important for me to approach those CEOs and even peers in my position now, you know, other CEOs or other, you know, chief nursing officers or chief operating officers or chief financial officers, things that I can learn from everyone. And to sum all that up, I would say, Rob, the ability to manage relationships, and then the openness and comfort level to learn from everybody, because our job as CEOs are so broad. I don't know that anyone expects us to be experts in everything that we do. You know, I'm never going to outsmart our laboratory director on doing laboratory operations, but the more I can know about each one of those departments on kind of the micro level, and then again, kind of looking back at even at the CFO functions, the more I can understand about the revenue cycle and which patients do better for us and things like that, I think that helps overall performance and just openness of learning.
That's well said. You know, I totally agree with you. The ability to be mentored and then to turn around and be a mentor is a skill, and the fact that each of us can't be an expert. So knowing where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, and pulling in those people that really can support you and you can support them, really building that mastermind around yourself is powerful. Well, all of us throughout our careers and throughout life, or at least most of us, have those times in life where we did not live up to either our own expectations or the expectations of others. Can you tell us about a time where you did that, either your own expectations or the expectations of others? And then, you know, how did you deal with that internally? How did you recover from that and move on to be where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were kind of going through that question, the most recent example was one yesterday, and I'm comfortable in that I don't have to look too far down in my career to think of things that I've messed up on, because there's, you know, obviously recent examples and things that we can continue to learn from. And I'll be a little bit vague on this, but you guys will get the story that just yesterday we had a meeting for a particular service line that we are pursuing pretty aggressively. And each month we have a kind of a touch point with the program director of that and all the leadership staff that are involved in that particular specialty. And this is about four or five months into it, and we had some very good processes that were really coming into place as we developed that, as we started the first couple of months and had a little bit of momentum. The last, you know, three or four weeks between the last meetings, we fell back a little bit. We had some nothing that impacted patient care. It was just processes or convenience type things for physicians that we dropped the ball on, you know, things that turn over and things like that in the OR. All of the cases, once we started taking care of the patients, everything worked great. And that was kind of the positive in the meeting, is everything on the postoperatively is great. Everything once we get into the OR is great. But it's, you know, the processes that, Rob, you're familiar with on all the front end stuff of getting all the preoperative paperwork and all that kind of stuff in. And we just had a couple patients in a row that we dropped the ball and had some delays on start times in the OR, and then a prolonged turnover between cases where we've set up this program to be able to allow the physicians to flip ORs, and just some things like that. So that was exposed yesterday. Thankfully, I was made aware of that prior to the meeting, and, you know, kind of as the issues come up, I like to have that information shared with me the day of, so that we can start working on a plan to fix it. But, you know, I think the biggest thing that I walked away with after that meeting, physicians are probably not unlike the rest of it. We don't want to hear excuses. You know, our surgeons don't want to hear excuses. It happened. What are the action plans to fix it? And we address that. We acknowledge that the ball was dropped. We have no excuse that we just dropped the ball. And here is what we have planned to resolve that issue going forward. And here's how we're going to monitor that process to see if those action plans are working. And we feel like we've addressed it, and we've had, you know, a week or so to to kind of start with the new revised processes, tweaks that we made. And I think we're on to something. So that's the most recent one, probably not the best example that I could give, but certainly the one that stood out as being the most recent.
You know, we're coming off the NBA season, and even the Warriors, who swept the finals of the championship, they didn't have an undefeated season. So none of us are perfect. So, Jeremy, what leadership principles or styles that you live by, what would you say are would be your style?
Good question, Robin. I think that is something that, again, I've tried to adopt from some really good mentors that I've had throughout my career. And I'd like to think that I had one CEO that told me that your emotions, your excitement level can go from a 1 to a 10 on any given day and probably any industry, but certainly in healthcare with the level of emergency things that we've got to do, or, you know, there's definitely emotional highs and lows, but a really good CEO, a very good leader knows how to stay within a certain range and for good or bad. And there are certainly things that I really like to celebrate, but I also want to give the impression that that's also expected. That is, the level of accountability that we want to have is to hit a home run every interaction that we have with our patients, our physicians, our community members. So I don't want to overly excite the group for something well done, because, again, that should be the norm. So, and I don't mean that to say we don't praise our people, because we certainly have done that. But staying on, if I say that a 1 is an extreme low and a 10 is an extreme high, you know, staying at a 6, 7, 8 range all the time. If things are going great, still stay within that range, because, again, that is our expectation. Reward and recognize your people, but you know, set the foundation that this is what our patients expect. This is what our physicians expect. And on the flip side of that, we've all been in disaster type situations, and most recently for us, almost a year ago, we were dealing with the hurricanes that devastated much of our state, and it was obviously a state of emergency, and incident commands were set up, and it was an anxious time. I was going to use exciting, and I don't mean that in a way that is disrespectful to those that were impacted. Exciting meaning just an elevated sense of alertness, and I think that was another area that, even though the excitement level, the anxiety level, the stress level can be very high, the perceptions that you send to your staff by still staying in that 6, 7, 8 range gives a sense of calmness that we're under control. We have well prepared for this situation with all of the emergency management training and tabletop scenarios that we go through. We are prepared for this. We are good at taking care of patients, and this is what our community is calling upon us at this time. So that was one of the things that I've learned, and I'd like to think that my leadership style is, I touched on expecting accountability, but also kind of staying in that level of excitement and lulls and everything that we do, but kind of keeping it in that 6, 7, 8 range.
Well said. Well said. Well, I love this question. I've asked this of most of our guests. If you could look back now, if you had the opportunity to give advice to a younger Jeremy, what advice would you give yourself?
Hey, that is a good question. And I think if I had to pick one thing that I would go back in time and tell myself, is to start in healthcare earlier. And that's really only because I really love this industry. It's a lot of fun to work in. It's rewarding that we get a chance to serve our community in so many different capacities. I get to work with some really awesome people across the medical staff, across the hospital staff and peer. It's just, it really is a great group or community of people that dedicate their lives to take care of other people. And I started, I'm 40 years old now, almost 41. I started right at 30. So I would have loved to, like some of the folks that are coming out of grad school now, having gone to grad school straight out of their undergrad, I would have really liked to have gone straight into healthcare. And for me, I started out actually in retail, worked with some really good companies, learned a lot, met a lot of great people. But as exciting as healthcare is today, and hospital management specifically, I love it. And my only regret is not getting into it sooner.
You know, it'd be great if everyone could say that same thing. Where do you imagine in the next 10 years, what's healthcare going to look like?
That's a great question. I've heard it said a couple times that in healthcare, the only thing that you can expect for sure is change. And I think that's exciting because if you do look back at all of the changes in modern medicine that we've had, they've gotten better. All of the techniques and different OR instruments and the way that we treat patients and the length of stay for certain diagnosis, they've all improved. So it's been really exciting to see the improvements that have made, even in a short period of time, even in a 10-year period. The next 10 years, tough to tell on the regulatory side and all that stuff, so I'm really going to focus on technology and things like that. I think that there's going to be a little bit more robotic stuff that gets more popular. Da Vinci has become very popular with certain specialties. There are some orthopedic robotic instruments. There are some neurosurgery ones. I think we're going to start to see a little bit more of that as the community starts to demand more precision and lower length of stay, quicker recovery times, things like that. I think that's going to be one. And then I also think as the payers, the insurance payers have changed the way that they are reimbursing hospitals for what yesterday was an admission, today is either an outpatient procedure or a short stay in the hospital overnight. I think there's going to be a focus on acuity for hospitals. And I don't know that it's going to get to this extreme within 10 years, but with the increase of home health, and I think the home health industry, I think, is going to be a big part of the future. But I see the hospitals playing a role in the near future, whether it's 10 years or further out, as being more OR, ER, ICU related, and a few more things being pushed to the home health world. So I believe that the acuity, the case mix index, will continue to increase in hospitals. Because of the patients that we care for are probably going to be forced to be tertiary type acuteness in hospital settings where lower level acuity could be otherwise taken care of at home. So I certainly don't have a magic wand. That's just some things that I picked up on. It'd be interesting to see. But 10 years, if I look back and listen to this podcast, I might want to change that answer. But right now in 2018, it'd be interesting to see if any of that plays out.
Well, Jeremy, you've been CEO now for just about a year or so. What do you see the next chapter of your life looking like?
Well, I really, really enjoy being in a CEO position. I love being in the hospital. I love everything about a hospital, the people, the celebrations that we have on patient care and patient experience. I love it. I don't see myself outside of a hospital role. Ultimately, you know, early on in my career, I would have loved to be a division president or, you know, some type of division type role. But as I've worked in hospitals, I can't see myself outside of a hospital. And I know that many of my mentors are over, you know, multiple facilities and do really well at that. But right now in my career, again, you know, 1 year into being a CEO, I've still got a whole lot to do. I feel like I've seen how it works well, and I love that part of my job, and I really get excited about coming to work. And the next chapter of my life, I hope it's remaining in the same chapter we're in right now, and just continuing to refine the results and continuously improve. But I love being in a hospital. I don't know that I see myself leaving a hospital.
Well, there's nothing better than finding your purpose and your passion and being able to live that out every single day, and I hope you can certainly continue that. Well, are any closing thoughts, any leadership lessons that you want to share with our podcast audience?
You know, the only thing I'd like to just reiterate a couple of the points that I've made on the podcast so far. And for those out there, if the audience is, you know, kind of considering going into healthcare, hopefully picked up on my passion and just the fun that we have in healthcare and the great peace within the community that we feel with taking care of people at their highest level of anxiety. I always tell people that for the most part, with the exception of delivering beautiful babies, we sell a product that no one wants to buy. So they come to us with an elevated level of anxiety already. And so we get to take care of those people at that time of need. So it's extremely fulfilling for, you know, kind of our little niche that we have in the community. I love that aspect of it. And hopefully you consider that if you're looking at healthcare as an industry. Leadership things, if you are always open to learning, no matter where you are in your career, and learning from people that might catch you off guard on things that you can learn from, because everyone can teach us something. And that is something that I really believe in. And the last thing I'll say, Rob, one of the best, if not the best, feedback that I received was recently from, we had a couple of administrative resident folks that came by. They were both in grad school on their healthcare administration journey, and they decided to spend their spring break kind of shadowing me, which is really cool that they gave up probably things that were a whole lot more fun than that to come hang out with me at the hospital. And as I was recapping with them both that Friday afternoon at the end of their week, one of them said something that I'm still getting tingles down my back right now as she said it. And she said, you know, one thing that I've noticed is that you talk to everybody the exact same way. And she went on to say that we were in the doctor's lounge and we were talking to the cafeteria staff that were, you know, stocking the food and making sure that everything was in there that was in order. And then we went straight from there to the OR. We bounced between an open heart surgery and a neurosurgery. So we obviously had a cardiovascular surgeon that was doing the open heart surgery, and then we bounced into a neurosurgeon in those cases. And that was her feedback, is that with those three interactions of people, you were the exact same person. And that certainly is something that I try to do consciously, but have never really advertised that I try to do that. But it was so rewarding that she saw that and she said, I've noticed that you treat everyone, you speak to everybody, regardless of their role in taking care of people, you speak to them the same way. So that would be one thing that I pass along, because that was extremely rewarding for me to hear that feedback, is learn from everybody and treat everybody the way you want to be treated, and with respect, because everybody deserves it.
Well, Jeremy, you're a natural leader and you are a student of leadership and continue to grow and be a sponge, which is what we should all be throughout our lives. And it's been a pleasure and an honor to be a part of your journey. So if you don't have any other comments that you want to share, then I really want to thank you for being on the podcast today and look forward to seeing you in the future.
Rob, thank you very much for having me on, and I appreciate everything that you've done for me as well.